ages 4 through 3rd grade. You are now dismissed for children's church. Your teacher's waiting for you there in the back. And parents, you are always welcome to accompany your kids back there. Hey, this is such a fun morning to be together. You know what I was thinking about this morning? Because, you know, as the search committee has gotten to know Joel and has gotten to know Ashley, we've heard of their heart, and it's obvious that Joel and Ashley are both talented musicians and have a real heart for leading God's people in worship. But more than that, I hope you'll stay afterward for the lunch to just hear Joel talk a little bit more about his testimony, which I've heard a number of times now, and I can tell you he has integrity because it's the same every time. But also just to hear his heart, I think more than a musician, more than just about anything, what I've seen in his heart is his heart as a pastor, his heart as a shepherd, his heart is for people. And I was just thinking about this morning, how excited I was to introduce you to them. Because it's like, have you ever had, two sets of people that you love and that you maybe a couple of friends, and you go, hey, you guys would be great friends if you could ever just get together. And so as Joel and I have gotten close and developed a relationship over email and phone calls and then in their times here with us, I've just kind of said, I can't wait for our church to meet you guys because they are going to love you and you are going to love them. So this is just a great morning for me too, personally. It's an answer to a lot of prayer, and know that as you get to know Joel and as you get to know Ashley, you're just going to love them. Like, search committee has come to, the elders have come to, my family personally has come to, and it's a great opportunity for us to grow in Christ together. I want you to be in prayer for them. Another thing that occurred to me this morning was, as we take this step of faith as a church family together, I've kind of thought a lot about this from our side. Well, I want you to also pray for them because this is a big step of faith for them on their side too. I know you're a great church family. I know this is a great church to be a part of. I don't want to be a part of any other church. But they are just still learning all those things. And so this is a step of faith for them too. To believe everything that the search committee has told us, like, hey, this is a great place to be. It's a great church to pastor, and there's a great group of people to love. And I think they're seeing that, and they're learning that, and they're getting to know that. But it's a step of faith for them too. And so, be in prayer for this transition for them as well. Just a great morning to be together. Joel and I just have experienced just great opportunity to get to know one another. Like I said, even more than music or something like that, God has given us just a kindred spirit in the gospel, in our heart for the local church, our vision, what we see Scripture calling a body of believers to in ministry, in evangelism, in spreading a passion for the name of Jesus. And so I'm just so excited. Like I said, it's just, hey, I got this great, I got these friends, and I got these friends, and you guys would be great friends if you just get together. And so I'm excited that you guys get to be friends now too. Hey, usually what I do is I read a passage of Scripture in its entirety before I kind of preach through it and break it down. This is a longer passage this morning, so I'm not going to read it in its entirety. I'm going to read it in chunks as we go through. And so let's just go ahead and let's pray, and then we're going to get into 1 John. And so if you've got your Bibles, open them to 1 John 4. That's where we're going to be this morning. 1 John 4. And like I said, I'm not going to read a chunk of Scripture until a little ways in. I want to kind of set some things up for us, but I want you to be there. If you didn't bring a Bible, just grab the one in the rack in front of you. If you don't know a Bible, take that one home. That's what we want you to have. And so let's pray together. God, what a great morning it is to be together. What great hope we have in Christ. God, just want to lay this before you one more time. So great to see all that you've done and all that you've led us too, in having Joel here and Ashley here. Pray for their boys that they would recover physically. For Liam and for Jude, they're great, great little boys, and Ashley and Joel are doing such a great job with them, God. And so we lift this family up to you and ask for your blessing on them in this step of faith as we take a step of faith as a church toward one another and ultimately, we believe, toward you. God, now as we turn our attention to the preaching of your word, God, may we just see and may you illuminate for us through the Holy Spirit the Scriptures. God, we're so grateful for this word that you've given us, that we might know of your character, know of your heart, know what it is that describes you. And God, as we're going to see in just a few minutes, of all the things that you are, of all the ways that we could know you, may we know that you are love. May we see what is primary and is of first importance. And may that set the foundation, a firm foundation, for everything else that we believe, for everything else that we think, for everything else that we do. And so, God, teach us now through your word. Father, as I always want to do every week, I want to lay my heart before you and just ask, God, it's my desire that only things that are true and of you would be spoken. And so, God, if there's anything that's not true, would you just be gracious to us? Wipe that away from our memory. God, we only want to take away from this time what you have for us from your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we'll get to 1 John 4:7 in just a couple of moments. That's where we'll start. But what I want to say is just to bring your mind to how many times you've heard the advice, first things first. First things first. I think I'm safe in assuming that almost everybody in this room has both given that advice and needed to hear it at some point in their life. A lot of times it's what parents say to children. You're about to, you know, carve pumpkins and they're sitting there on the table and somebody's just ready to take the knife and stab in and go for it. But there's no bowl for that, you know, gooey, slimy, stringy, seedy stuff. There's no spoon to scoop it out. There's no newspaper down. And so wait. First things first, before we stab the pumpkin, let's set up for the project. You know, for the last 4 years, it seems like at our house, we've just had one project after another. My dad is really handy, and so he'll come down oftentimes in the summer, and he'll help me for a few days. And last summer, he came down, and my plan was we had this sort of ugly railing thing that sat on top of a half wall when it came into our entryway, and it really divided the doorway from the living room, and it made the room seem a lot smaller, and it kind of closed down things, and there was poor lighting in there, and we thought, you know, if we just took out this railing, it would really open things up. You know, if you've been in virtually any house that was built in the 60s or 70s, you might be able to picture what I'm talking about, this type of, it almost looks like a banister, but it's up in the air. And so we thought, well, let's take this out. And before I tell you the rest of the story, I want you to know that I like order, I like cleanliness, and I like to know the plan. And so this is my plan. We're going to take out the railing. But I thought maybe we could take out this whole wall. And so as my dad and I are standing there discussing the project before we start, I say, oh, by the way, what do you think it would take to take out the wall? And his eyes kind of light up and, really? We could demo a wall right now. And so he kind of gets excited about this and he starts to, you know, talk with me about the benefits and that. And I said, but you know what? You're going to be here for just a couple of days. And this sounds like, you know, how it is. The project always expands. And if we do this, then we're talking, we got to patch walls and ceiling. And then we got to do flooring. And then we got to paint. And it's going to be a whole big thing. And you're going to leave in 3 days. We got 3 days to do this. And so finally, he convinces me to do it. And I'm not kidding. Within seconds of me saying, okay, let's do it, I didn't even realize he had a hammer in his hand. He takes the hammer and just throws it into the wall. So let's see what we get. He kind of turns the hammer to the side so the claw pulls out a huge chunk of drywall. Now, I like order. And I like cleanliness. And so I'm conflicted at this point because now I got a big chunk of drywall missing from my half wall and it's all over the floor. And so now I'm ready. I'm just like, let's do this thing if we're going to do it. We've got limited time. So I grab the Sawzall that's sitting on the floor and I just start, I'm about ready to cut right into the thing. My dad's, whoa. First things first, there's electricity in this wall. Let's go cut the breaker. Let's go cut the breaker. I honestly don't think I was wearing shoes, actually, when I picked up the Sawzall. I need shoes. First things first. When people say first things first, what they mean is, you know, let's lay a foundation, let's undergird, let's support. Whatever we're going to do, let's get the right layering first so that what we do following this will have success. Sometimes you might say keeping first things first and keeping primary things primary is also a goal. In other words, what's most important and what's most fundamental will come first, and then everything else, you know, gets built on top of that. The Apostle Paul is a missionary, and he's a church planter. For most of his ministry, what Paul does is Paul travels around the Roman Empire, and he's telling pagans, people who believed in false gods, people who believed in the emperor and worshiped the emperor, about the living God, the true God. And of all the things he could have started with, he writes to one of the churches he planted, 1 Corinthians 15, "I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures." That's the first thing. "I deliver to you of first importance that Christ died for the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the Scriptures." If you want to know where to start when preaching the gospel to somebody, that's a pretty good place. Christ died for the forgiveness of sins according to the Scriptures. I think if you kind of use that as your roadmap and walk through what those words mean, you'll be okay. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about some of the things you can pursue in life, some of the options that you have to give your life to. And here's what he says: "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." In other words, if you want to know what is foundational in your life, seek to live with God as your king. The rest will fall into place. After that, if you're seeking to live with God as your king, the rest will fall into place. What we're doing this morning in 1 John is returning to first things. What's most foundational? What's most important? What's primary to life in Jesus Christ? There's a lot of verses here. We're going to do a lot of verses, virtually a chapter together this morning. We can work through a lot of it quickly because these are things that John has already said in the letter. When we began the series, I told you that 1 John is a kind of circular letter. It's not a linear argument. Most of Paul's letters, Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians and Philippians and Colossians, these are more linear arguments. 1 John is more of a circular letter. He comes back to the same several themes over and over again. He uses reiteration to drive home his point, his heart for people. Uses the circular method of bringing them back to first things, to primary things, to share his heart and his love for the people that God has called him to oversee. And so we're going to pick this up in 1 John 4:7. And let me just read. We're going to kind of work through chunks this morning. 1 John 4:7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." Now, this is the third time in the letter that John has dove down deep into what love is and what love does. First, the first time he came to love, he said, "If you love, you know God." If you love, you're tapping into, that doesn't mean that love is God, that's